Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Damian Lillard responded to Skip on Twitter yesterday after Skip tweeted that he wasn't buying Dame time as a superstar. Then we also discussed that idea on the show yesterday. Lillard replied saying, quote, "I have never been buying nothing about you, fam. You a joke. And after our private combo, full of backpedaling, you will never have my respect." Skip, please tell us, explain what happened between you two.
Okay, Shannon Sharp, this is going to take a few minutes because a lot has transpired between me and Damian Lillard that I would like to detail for you right now. Okay. You feel free to chime in anytime that you like. This all started on the morning of May 27th when we were doing a show from home. We were still stuck at home.
Right.
And Damian had made some statements to our man Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports that really hit me the wrong way and offended me. And as I recall, I think you were equally offended by those comments.
Right.
Because Damian had said he would go to the bubble, but unless the NBA could devise a format that would give them a chance to make the playoffs, he was going to sit on the bench and watch these bubble games if he didn't have a chance to actually make the playoffs.
Correct. I remember.
And I was offended because his team was 29-37 at that point. We were in the middle of a pandemic. And everyone in the sports business, including us sitting right here at this desk, and we were stuck at home at that point, we were all depending on the NBA to go to the bubble and try to save sports for us by showing us how they could bring sports back safely.
Right.
And by the way, they have achieved that.
Right.
And I think Damian is probably very happy that he went to the bubble and now has a chance to make the playoffs.
Right.
But the point is that this also occurred to me as I spoke to you through my little camera in my little house up in my loft, to you up in your palatial estate up in Bel Air. Damian Lillard has often spoken out like he's one of the leaders of the NBA. Mm-hmm. He sometimes speaks as if he's LeBron James. And LeBron is obviously the face of this league and has earned the right to be the face of this league.
Right.
And so I wondered out loud on TV to you, what exactly has Damian Lillard ever won to achieve this kind of stature in this league? Because seriously, he's won nothing.
Right.
He's a very good player, obviously. Highest he ever finished in the MVP race was fourth in 2018. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Not all-time great, obviously. So he has won what? Well, LeBron's won three rings with three finals MVPs. And Kevin Durant has won two rings with two finals MVPs. But the last I checked, I don't know what Damian has won. And again, I was worked up and angry because our very lives were depending, our existence here on TV was dependent upon them going to the bubble.
Well, Skip, I think I was disappointed because I voiced criticism also. I was like, well, you had an opportunity to put yourself in a better position. Now, the NBA says you're going to go down there and play eight games. Win your games. Hopefully, you're going to get an opportunity to play Memphis. You can catch them. Okay. But to say you need to come up with a plan so we can get in, no, that's not how the NBA should be devised.
Okay.
So I voiced criticism as well as you.
Okay. So that afternoon, I heard from two of my friends in this business, our man Chris Haynes and Stephen A. Smith, both said, hey, Dame's looking for your number. Can we give it to him?
Right.
Absolutely give it to him. And within a few minutes, I get a scathing text from Damian Lillard saying, what have you done to challenge what I have done? Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
And I don't want to text talk about it. I want to talk about it. And if I could talk face to face, I would have done that at that moment.
Right.
Within 5 seconds of me reading that text, I just hit the little dial sign on and it rang his phone. So I called him because I don't run from any of that.
Right.
And you know my background. I've had dozens, if not hundreds, of battles with professional athletes in my many years in this business.
Okay.
And it's best if they want to talk about it. Yep, absolutely, let's talk about
right.
it. It's even better if he wants to come and sit right here, and I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, and we can talk it out live on TV about all his issues that he has with me. So I called him, and right off the top, I tried to be civil with him,
right.
though he was clearly pretty agitated
right.
and angry with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
But the first thing I explained to him was, yeah, I got really worked up. I was scathing in my commentary to you because we were in the middle of a pandemic, and I was starting to wonder if we were even going to be able to have this network sustain itself into the fall, because I wasn't sure
right.
we were going to have pro football, college. We're still up in the air about college football.
Correct.
I didn't know about baseball, and I was still dubious and highly doubtful about basketball in the bubble
right.
with the NBA.
Right.
So I told him, yeah, I got over emotional. Now he's saying I backtrack, but that wasn't the guts of our conversation, because I doubled down on the sort of basis of my commentary. What have you done to be that kind of spokesman for the league? And he said, well, since I came into the league, I've been one of the clutchest players in the league, blah, blah, blah. We go back and forth on and on, and I hung right in there with him, and it started to get heated. And I asked him, what happened? You had your biggest moment of your career last year, conference finals versus Golden State. No, Kevin Durant. It was basically you and CJ versus Steph and Clay. It boiled down to that. You had four cracks at them, four straight games in which you had a chance to win going to the fourth quarter. And just to reiterate for those who might have missed this, the Portland Trailblazers go into those fourth quarters. They were down six. They were tied. They were down three, and the fourth one, they were up eight. That game ended up going to overtime. In those fourth quarters, plus that one overtime, Damian Lillard went 8 of 26. That's 31% from the field. And he shot 5 of 17 from the three-point line. That's 29%. He was a minus 30 for those fourth quarters and that one overtime. He was not clutch. And by the way, for those who don't know this, since Damian Lillard entered this league, he has the worst postseason winning percentage in all of the NBA. That is 37%. He's 19 and 32 in his games. Is that all his fault? Absolutely not. But is he a transcendent king of the NBA kind of player? I'm sorry, I haven't seen it yet. So I kept telling him on the phone, you just need to show me. You can shut me up by doing it. I can't stop you. I can't go out and guard you. I wouldn't even try to guard you. But you can stop me. You can silence me by just doing it. When you get chances in these big games, just go do it, right?
Right.
And by the way, his postseason plus minus since he entered the league, he is the second worst in the NBA at minus 219. So don't tell me your all-time clutch, even though you've made a lot of big shots in some moments, but not the biggest moments. So we go back and forth about that. And the conversation did not end well. It was cold, and it ended, and I thought that would be the end of it. But it wasn't going to change anything I was going to say on television about Damian Lillard, because you know me, I don't pull any punches.
Right.
Apparently, he got the feeling that because we talked on the phone, that meant I wouldn't criticize him anymore, because he had sort of stooped to give me a few minutes. We actually talked for about an hour on the phone, okay? And like he had bought some insurance with me, but you know how I just react to what I see.
Right.
So if you go to the bubble and you play a game against Boston early in the seed games, and you're up one with 2 minutes left and you disappear down the stretch and you are unclutch, I'm going to talk about it. And obviously I'm about to get to the Clipper game. If you miss two big free throws and miss a big tying three, yeah, I'm going to talk about it, because I need to see more of you, because you clearly, of the potential eight seeds, is it fair to say they have on paper by far the biggest threat to the Lakers, the best?
But they're still an eight seed.
Okay.
So they're still at a decided disadvantage.
Okay, I got it. So he also says now that he asked me during this conversation, as he calls it, the private convo that now he made very public, which is fine with me. I don't care about that.
Okay.
But he asked me, why are you always hating on Bron? I got to tell you, I have a pretty good memory. I don't remember him asking me one thing about LeBron James during that conversation. We did not discuss LeBron to my memory. Maybe I blanked it out, but I don't think so. I don't think we talked at all about LeBron James, which brings me back to last Saturday. The missed free throws, the missed three, And I tweeted, just as the game ended, I continue to ask, is Dame really that guy, cap T, cap G, that guy, a true superstar, all caps, S-U-P-E-R, super, and then lowercase star. And about 15 minutes passed, and Shannon, I believe he still had to be in the locker room. I don't know if he'd done his post-game media session or not, but I got a scathing text from Damian saying, you might be the most phony MF on TV. Okay, and I'm thinking, I'm phony how? And I wrote him back a longer text explaining what I just said. And I said, no, I'm the most honest and objective. But I think he's calling me phony because he thought we had a quote-unquote sort of an unwritten deal where we'd talked on the phone, so I would stop criticizing him. So that makes me a phony. No, that's not how I play this game. I will call them as I see them. I just say what I see. And obviously, that was a huge game for the Trailblazers, maybe to even get to the pure eight seed where they're going to have a play-in with the ninth. And now, if you just get to nine, you have to beat the eight seed if it ends up being Memphis. Right. You have to beat them twice to get in the tournament.
Well, I mean, that shouldn't be a problem, is it? I mean, because everybody, there's a lot of people expecting them to beat the Lakers. Well, if you can't beat the Grizzlies twice, how the hell are you going to beat the Lakers four times?
Yep. Okay. So I wrote him this long text back, very objectively. I'll take phony MF. I'll swallow that. And he writes back that I'm a bozo. He used the word, I'm a bozo. And he said, lose my damn number. Dame, I didn't ask for your damn number. I had not, over the 2 months I had your number, used it one time.
Right.
I guess he wanted me to sort of text with him, you know, after a good game, way to go, you know, what's going on down there? Tell me about what's going on with... Is Nurk back or that sort of thing?
I don't think that man was asking that, Skip.
I don't know.
He wanted to clear the air, Skip. Let me take it from an athlete's perspective, because I've been an athlete and I've been on that side, and now I'm on this side where you stand. I think the problem that some of the athletes have, Skip, is that when they do something well, you never give it the weight that you give when they do something wrong. Okay. See, like, when he hit that shot against OKC, when he hit that shot against Houston, when he sent Memphis home, you don't give that the credibility like you gave his failures. And so guys are saying, well, hold on. When I did something good, you didn't say, oh, man, look at Dame. Dame was all-time clutch. Dame was all-time clutch. You didn't do that. And so guys...
I think I was highly complimentary of that shot.
I'm just saying.
And I think I was critical of Russell for getting outplayed nose to nose against Damian.
And I just think the thing is that when players like, okay, look, none of us really like to be criticized. They're like, okay, I know that comes with the territory. Stop. Nobody likes to be criticized. We all like to have praise heap upon us.
Yep.
But the really good ones can understand that's a part of the game and you deal with it. I just think the thing is, Skip, is that for an athlete, and you are, I mean, sometimes I think, me knowing you, had I not known you like I know you over the last 4 years, September 6th, we would have been we worked together for 4 years. And from a distance, and that's the thing that I get. Man, is Skip really like that? I'm like, yes, Skip is really like that. What you see is what you get. He is honest. He's loving. There's nothing bad I can say about Skip. But I think sometimes people think that you take personal shots at the athletes. I think that's the biggest thing. Mm. And I think the athletes themselves think you take personal shots at them because you're so harsh in your critique of them, especially when things are not going their way.
Have I taken any personal shots at Damian?
No. I'm not. I'm saying how they perceive it.
Okay.
I don't believe it's personal. No, I don't. But I do think you can be overly critical at times while not giving them the same amount of praise. Mm-hmm. And then they look at it and says, well, hold on, you hype this guy. It's kind of like when Tom Brady makes a mistake, it's like, see, it's everybody else's fault. But when he plays well, everybody else doesn't get any credit. Mm. Dame, for me, Dame is clutch. And I can't say because he didn't come through in that moment, now all the clutchness that he's done goes away.
Mm-hmm.
But Dame felt the way he felt. But like I said, I was as critical of him originally on May 27th as you were. Because I was like, hold on, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to determine how the setup so you can get into the tournament.
Okay.
Just go down there, play your eight games, take care of your business, let the chips fall where they may.
Okay.
But to say, well, I don't have a realistic chance, I'm not going to play. Bro, you making a quarter of a bill.
Mm. Yep. So, leading into yesterday's show, I tweeted just to sort of tease our A block of the show. I'm still not buying Dame time. And apparently the Clippers aren't either. And during the show, I made the point to you that Pat Bev, Paul George had basically clowned Damian Lillard at the end of that game, pointing to their imaginary watch. Yeah. Is it Dame time? And waving goodbye to him as he waved goodbye to the Thunder and Russell Westbrook a year ago in the first round of the playoffs. And my point to you was they would not have done that to LeBron James. They would not have done that to Kevin Durant. They would have paid both those men far more respect because they have earned that respect. And I thought it validated in part what I'm saying about Damian because they know he's won nothing. So they've both been around. And I'm not saying they're better players because they're not better players, although you can make a case Paul George is right in the same ballpark with Damian Lillard. But they went out of their way to challenge him on social media and go back and forth after the game. I thought that was telling and significant.
For me, Skip, Kevin Durant does not have he doesn't have something that he does after he hits a big shot that he does like Dame, like his dollar time, like his Dame time.
Yep.
Skip, I think the thing is we have to look at, Pat Bev is in L.A. Why? Because Dame sent his butt packing in Houston. Paul George is in L.A. for one reason. Because
I mean, that's not why Pat Bev's in L.A.
No, he didn't.
He knocked him out of the playoffs.
And Paul George.
Okay.
Paul George with Russell Westbrook got sent home packing, and he came to the realization, I can't get any further than what I'm going right now because Dame sent his butt home packing. Mm-hmm. And then he up there kiki-keying and laughing after the dude just hit a 50-footer on you to drop a 50-piece and average 33? So Dame is like, hold on, bro. Did you just forget what I did to you last year? Now you go get Kawhi. And now all of a sudden your chest is out.
Okay. So, Damian, after that tweet from me, he fired back at me on Twitter calling me a joke. And he wrote on Twitter, after our private convo, full of backpedaling.
It was private.
You divulged it. Oh, no, I didn't divulge it. He divulged it. You still have no respect for me was the basic point. I said, okay, so be it. So, Damian told me he does not watch Undisputed, yet he has now called me phony and bozo and joke. And I'm wondering, what does it matter what I call him? If he has no respect for me, why would he even pay attention to me? That's the biggest question I have. And I always have that for the athletes. What does it matter what I say? Because they take it very seriously.
They do.
Because I think he still has enough respect for my opinion because I've been doing this for a long time. I go back to covering the Lakers of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar pre-Magic here in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So I have a pretty good grip on what's going on.
Right.
But I don't mind the name calling of me because I'm not going to name call back, but I will criticize when I see a time and a place for criticism.
Right.
When it's called for, I'm going to criticize. Which leads me to the end of this, which is I did use Dame's number one last time last night after I saw this tweet. One last time, won't use it again. But I invited him onto this show to sit right here, as many athletes have, Terrell Owens, on down. Mm-hmm. And we can go back and forth about everything you and I just talked about.
Right.
And you can chime in and you can take his side. You can take my, I don't care. Because we can have it out, what got said and what didn't get said in the private convo.
Skip, I don't know if he'll take you up on that. But in a situation like this, I'm not taking sides. I'm going to be objective. I'm going to say if Dame is wrong, I'm going to say Dame is wrong. If you're wrong in a situation, I'm going to say you're wrong. You're wrong in that situation. Because what I've always tried to be since I've taken this job, being an athlete, realizing I had a mom that when I played and a sister and got kids and got a brother and had a significant other at the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm very cognizant of that, Skip. And so for me, I'm going to be firm. I think the greatest thing that when an athlete sees me, they say, man, you be telling the truth. He say, you firm, but you fair. And I've talked to a lot of guys that say you're far. And Skip, sometimes I take serious situations and I can make them funny. God has given me that ability to sometimes take serious situations and make them funny. But people get the gist of what I'm saying, the crux of what I'm saying. And for me, that's what I'm going to stand on. I'm not going to take, if I didn't think Dame was top 10, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm not going to say Dame is top 10 if I don't believe he's top 10. I'm not going to say Luka's good if I don't think Luka's good. Because that ain't how we do it. Because you have no, for the most part, you have no idea where I'm going. And people are like, well, What are you in? I say, Skip and I don't rehearse nothing.
Nothing.
The first time, Skip and I barely talk. We talk even less now because we come because of the situation.
Yep.
Is that basically I show up, camera go on, and away we go.
Yep.
So Skip have no idea what I'm going to say. I have no idea what he's going to say. We're just reacting to mm-hmm. what each other say. So if you think this is scripted, this is not scripted.
Yep.
What you see is what you get with he and I. So I don't really know what to tell Dame. I can just tell Dame it's not personal with you. I do think sometimes you're overly harsh in your criticism, but that's the way you do. I mean, sometimes you might think, I'm going too easy on a guy.
Or you're overly harsh in your criticism of Tom Brady.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You go. See, I told you. Didn't I tell y'all people, what are you going to go back to? Oh, Tom Brady? Tom Brady?
Or Michael Jordan. How about that one?
Oh, my goodness.
Extreme excessive criticism of a guy who's beyond criticism.
No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No. No one is beyond reproach. Not in my book.
So, in the end, this is my two cents from a distance about how Dame is attacking me. It's classic, cliched, kill the messenger or discredit the messenger. If you can't defend yourself on my criticism, you finally say, yeah, but you're a joke, you're a bozo, you're a phony.
Right.
And maybe his followers will say, yeah, we won't pay any attention to that anymore. You're okay, Dame. And that's fine with me if that's how you have to play this game, but I don't play it that way.
But Skip, we got to be careful. Because what has transpired, because when we say guys haven't won anything, we got guys that are the third or the fourth or the fifth option on a team that's won a championship that believe they're better than superstars that have never won a championship. Mm-hmm. We got guys that have titles that somehow believe because they're better than Charles Barkley because he never won, or they're better than Mailman because he never won. And I'm like, hold on. So we got to be careful of that. Just because a guy hasn't won anything, and he might not win anything, but that doesn't devalue him as a great player. Mm-hmm. And I believe Dame is a great player, although he hasn't won. Skip, there are very few people that get it like Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan comes out of college, and he wins right away. And he keeps on winning. That doesn't normally happen. You look at Jordan, how long it took Jordan before he won. Look how long it took LeBron before he won. Look how long it took Kevin Durant. Oh, you get a Magic Johnson, win an NCAA title, and his rookie year, he wins a title and win finals MVP. Larry Bird, it was 2 years later, he wins. Skip, it doesn't happen like that. We've gotten so used to instant gratification, and we think if a player is great, well, if you're great, just win. It doesn't work like that.
Unless you're transcendent, you're that guy who can lift even the Portland Trailblazers up to glory. They had a real shot against Golden State last year.
But Skip,
that was his moment. And he shrank in that moment.
Skip, you have to understand, Golden State playing without Kevin Durant is different than Golden State playing without Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had played without Kevin Durant for so long. So Kevin Durant not being there, guess what? They go back to their 73-9 team. They go back to their 67-15 team. So they have played. They had won championships without Kevin Durant.
Mm.
It's not like a situation where a guy has been there, then all of a sudden you take him out of the lineup. They had been used to playing without Kevin Durant. I thought, yes, does Dame wish he had played better down the stretch? Absolutely. But I'm not so sure they even in those games with a chance to win had Dame not been spectacular early on. He's special, Skip.
Four quarters.
He's special.
Yeah.
He's special.
Well, show me and shut me up. And I will be the first to tell you, I'll be rooting for Damian Lillard against your Lakers if, in fact, they make it to the first round.
But the thing is, Skip, and I understand, I heard what you said about his win percentage, but how many times have Dame gone into the playoffs where his team was favored?
Okay.
So he beat...
I can say that about Jordan's early teams also.
You know, Jordan was always favored.
The Celtics? Are you kidding me?
No. And guess what happened?
Okay.
So, but Skip, nobody said Jordan wasn't a great player because he hadn't won anything. Mm. Because for his first 7 years, he won jack. And everybody still said he was still winning MVP. He was still winning Defensive Player of the Year. And he hadn't won jack.
And the Celtics called him God in sneakers.
All the NBA players know what Dame represent. I mean, think about what they're saying about him down in the bubble. Everybody, he and a Book and been some of the biggest names down there. Like, oh, Skip, they know what that guy represents. Skip, you know what it is.
The Clippers apparently don't know what he represents.
They know what he represents.
Do they?
Yeah.
Boy, they didn't express it.
Oh, they keep
After the game, they didn't say, gee, we were just kidding around. We have nothing but respect for him. Nope, they went right on social media and blasted away.
Skip, you know that's how it
that,
is.
You know and I know. You know what players think. You know how it operates, where players aren't going to attack like that if they have the utmost respect for somebody who is a made man in your league.
Oh, no, I'm doing it. I don't care how made you are. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it. If I'd have been an NBA player back in the day and I get me a dunk, guess what I'm doing? Right on the bull. Yeah,
And you'd take a big old L because he would have then taken it out.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, he would have gone for 70.
If I played Kobe, I would put put my jersey in my everything. I'm mimicking everybody.
Bottom line to this discussion, I have not heard back from Damian Lillard. I hope to, but I doubt I will.
Damn, you still my dog. Mm. Don't drop no diss track about your boy.
Yeah.
Don't need any of that.
That would be fine, too.
I appreciate the openness, Skip, from you in explaining that full story, because there was a lot there. Good stuff from you guys. And I do hope Dame reaches out. It's always good to do things in person, so we'll have to see on that.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
LeBron and the Lakers finally snapped their three-game skid with an exciting win over the Nuggets last night. LeBron led the way with 29, but it was Kyle Kuzma who knocked down the game-winning shot with less than a half a second to go. Kuzma finished with 25, and after the game, LeBron said that in order to win a title, Kuzma needs to be their third best player or second best player if he or Anthony Davis are having an off night. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, tell me, what was your biggest takeaway from that win last night for the Lakers?
Well, first of all, let's put it in perspective. It's not like they were facing the 96 Bulls. All right, Denver sat their starters the entire fourth quarter to rest, and then they were already without Gary Harris and Will Barton, who are two starters who will be back Friday. So just a little perspective. That said, the Lakers did some really good things, starting with Anthony Davis. You guys know I've said repeatedly I need to see him closer to the basket, and that's what he did earlier in the game. His first three or four buckets were at the rim or off post-ups and things like that, and that gets him going. That he sees the ball go into the basket. It puts the defense on notice that, hey, we got to watch this guy inside, and it opens things up outside. So I love seeing AD play at the rim like that. Secondly, he went into the fourth quarter, he did some damage, which, again, I've been calling for. He had 7 points in the last 5 minutes. They're going to need him to have the attitude against the really good teams, not just the Denver second and third unit. But again, it's a good sign from him. Then you got Kyle Kuzma. We know, we've said LeBron needs a dog with him, and Kuzma has that dog mentality. There's no doubt about it. We've all kind of talked about how he needs to be that third guy in kind of a big three. If LeBron and AD don't have it going one night, he can step up. We know he can score. The question with Kuzma's always been, what's he going to do defensively? And not just effort, but being locked in, focused, you know, in the right rotations and things like that. And I think he's been good at that in the bubble. And that enables him to stay on the floor late in a game and be an offensive threat. I love, too, you saw that, you know, they kind of chest bumped LeBron and Kuzma after the shot. But LeBron's got his hands up in the air before the ball even goes through the rim. Kuzma will see that, and I think that's great. We know there was questions about these two earlier in the season getting along after Kuzma's trainer kind of spoke up. Kuzma will see this and know that LeBron believes in him, has confidence in him. So I think that's a good team building aspect as well. So I think overall it was a good night for the Lakers and something they can build on.
No, Chris, it was a good night offensively for the Lakers. There's no way this game is supposed to be this close in the fourth quarter when the Nuggets set their entire starting lineup. So no Jokic, no Murray, no MJP. Come on, Chris. I mean, they go 8 straight possessions. They shoot 67% with backups against your starters. They shoot, what, they 3 for 3. They're perfect. They're 100% from the three-point line in the fourth quarter. Yes, it was finally glad. I'm glad to see the Lakers break out of their shooting slump. They shot over 50% from the floor. They shot 50% from the three-point line. Okay, that's good. But you can't give up that kind of points to those guys in that situation. If that's Jokic, if they go the whole way with their starters, okay, I'm like, man, that was a tough one. But you can't play this game that close with backups. I like what I saw with AD. Even though he did not get a whole lot of shot attempts, he was able to get to the foul line 10 times in the second half. That's what you and I talked about. Because we thought he had started to settle. He saw the success that he had in the first three games, shooting the ball from the outside. He's like, well, hey, I'm Dirk Nowitzki. I'm Kevin Durant. I'm just going to hang around out here. No, put the ball on the floor and get to the hoop. Crash the boards. We saw him crash the boards a lot last night. The putback dunk right before the end of the half. He was engaged. LeBron started slow, picked it up. Kyle Kuzma made some big shots. But the biggest thing that I liked most was Danny Green. We had a Danny Green sighting. The first time we saw him down in the bubble. Because, Chris, if he's not knocking down threes, he's not the defender that he once was. He becomes a liability. Because now they're just going to clog the paint, not let LeBron drive, and the double team going to come off of his guy to hit double down on AD because he's not knocking down shots consistently. Consistently. But I like what I saw offensively, but I'm concerned defensively. Mm. You can't tell me, well, they ain't got nothing to play for. They clinch. At some point in time, you say, you know what? This guy ain't finna just drive by me and go just lay it up. Mm.
So, Shannon Sharp, does that mean, bottom line, you're now picking the Clippers Lakers? That's you're making the case.
Shannon sounds scared.
Yeah.
You definitely do not sound confident. Mm.
Hold on.
With good reason.
Hold on. I said I'm concerned. I like what I saw offensively, but I don't like what I saw defensively when you're going against backups. You give up 30-plus points in the fourth quarter to backups. No, that'll get you beat.
I tell you, some of those guys, what, Kedda Bates, Diop, I mean, I these guys were coming out of nowhere, and it's like balling.
Yes.
I was like, wow. P.J. Dozier, they were making them look good. You're right about that.
Mm. So the good news last night was the Lakers played by far their best offensive game in the bubble. The bad news was the Lakers played by far their worst defensive game of the season, the whole season, because remember, Shannon, they couldn't stop the starters either. So
no.
The starters were on the floor for about three quarters. They're all playing like 22, 23 minutes. Mm-hmm. And look what they did combined. The starters last night went 24 of 38. That's 63%. That will get you a big L hung around your neck every time if
yes.
you're going to play that bad a defense, that nonchalant, that uncommitted of defense. And then the backups come in, and to your point, it's like, who are these people? And the backups are going 3 of 4, 3 of 4, 3 of 4, 3 of 5, and poor Bol Bol took one shot in the fourth quarter, and I like his game, but he's 20 years old, and he's out there against LeBron and AD, and he's just a little lost because there's not a lot of meat on those bones yet. If he gets a little meat, he's got some game because he's got guard skills at 7'2".
Yeah, he's like, you're about 7'2", about 185.
Is he 185? I'm not sure he's 185. But the point is, they're just lighting up the Lakers, and the Lakers are having fun. LeBron got a hot hand. I liked it. He got in the flow. He got some rhythm. He was shooting that sort of limp-wristed shot that when he gets it flowing, it looks good. And it started looking good, and he started swishing it. Which brings me to the last shot, and I just expected they would run a play for LeBron. He was cooking. He'd made two threes in the fourth quarter. There's nobody on that second unit that can keep him from the rim, so I thought, okay, just drive it and get to the line. Surely you could make one free throw out of two to win the game, or if you're feeling really good about yourself, just pull up and shoot it and win it. And yet, they run up call play. Vogel gets away with calling a play in the sideline huddle, not for LeBron, but for Kyle Kuzma. And I'm thinking, is LeBron going to fire him after the game? Because remember what happened in Chicago at that playoff game. Remember that?
Yep.
When LeBron said, get out of my way.
David
give me
Blatt.
The David Blatt called the play for Kyrie on the inbounds play down under the basket.
Yep.
And LeBron, to his credit, got mad. I love LeBron mad when he plays mad. And he just took it and shot it. It wasn't a three, remember?
It was 2 points.
Just from
deep,
just inside.
It was a deep two.
Deep two.
Right.
But he makes it to win the it was a crucial play.
Yes.
Yeah, at Chicago against Derrick Rose and company. So the point was, LeBron seemed totally cool with, they called a play that they practiced early in the bubble in which he inbounds to Anthony. And I thought Anthony would just kick it right back to LeBron or go pick for him or whatever. And Kuzma curls off Anthony and gets a pretty wide open look until Bol Bol said, uh-oh, I got to get out there. And he makes a flying leap at Kuzma, who had to launch it a little higher than I think he wanted to, which gave it a little more arc and trajectory, and he ripped it clean. And I've been saying to you guys for months, he's the closer on this team because he's got the right mentality for him. He's got dog in him. Plus, he's got, as one of the Cowboys once said of Clint Longley back in the day when he threw a touchdown pass to win a Thanksgiving game, it was the triumph of an uncluttered mind. And I think Kyle's got an uncluttered young mind where he just doesn't care. If he misses, it goes in one eye and out the other. He has no memory. He just keeps firing, and that's the guy who should be closing for the Lakers. So I liked it as long as LeBron is cool with the fact the ball got taken out of his hands to end the game, and he ended it.
We took it out of our hands. Yep. So don't see.
So you called the play.
Chris, you see what he tried to do? I mean, yeah, the guy made a shot. Now he's trying to call dissension.
Well,
I'm with you, Shady. Because here's the thing, and you brought up the situation in Chicago years back. That was obviously a playoff game. That was a huge game. This was a meaningless game, really, for the Lakers. Now, they wanted to come out and play well. And like you guys said, they did offensively, not defensively. But they got the number one seed locked up. This was a game they didn't have to win. So what better opportunity than to get a young kid some confidence? And you're right, he's confident no matter what. But give him a chance. This is his first shot like this that he's hit all year. Game winner, that type of shot. So get him the ball. LeBron's delivered in those situations before many times. You know he can do it. Get it to Kuzma. Let him feel that pressure and hit a shot. So I thought it was perfect. If this was a playoff game, I'm not sure they call that. But in this situation, it was good and the play was ran perfectly. So I think that was by design.
And plus, one more thing. We finally got AD and LeBron to play well together in the exact same game.
Now, wait a second. I'll give you AD in the first half because, what was he, 17-7?
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, he gets 0 rebounds and is 1-for-4 from the floor. He got to the free throw line,
yeah.
But it's still.
He aggressive.
I don't aggressive. Know. He aggressive. Pushed a button in the first half and he came to aggressive. Play. He let the dogs out, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you saw GOAT.
Yeah.
29-12.
Yeah. His eyes lit up, though, when he saw Bol Bol.
Oh, yeah. Bol Bol.
Bol Bol.
I've seen bigger piano legs, but that's your. He all laid. But
Skip talking about.
Skip said, well, he need to gain some weight. Skip, do you remember his dad? He's already bigger than his dad ever was.
Right. I'm not sure there's going to be weight, man.
Yeah. The three from Kuzma, though, was the first time I was like, all right, I miss the fans. Because that would have been so awesome to have that reaction. But what are you going to do?
No mercy.
Okay, the Clippers are one step closer to being at full strength in the bubble. In a series of posts, Montrezl Harrell announced his arrival in Orlando yesterday. Harrell will have to quarantine for 4 days before he officially joins his teammates on the court. The forward has been away from the bubble since July 17th. So Chris Broussard is still with us. Chris, how much will he help and how quickly?
Oh, he's going to help tremendously. And you mentioned his social media post, Jen. One of his posts, he said, I'm a whole different kill now. That's a direct quote. I love the sentiment there. I love the abonics of it, everything. That is the attitude that Montrezl Harrell brings to the Clippers. And I think that's one of the advantages they have over the Lakers is they've got that nastiness and that dog, whether it's Harrell, whether it's Kawhi, whether it's Marcus Morris now, obviously Pat Beverly. So he just brings more of that. And remember, he's in a contract year too. He should be up for a huge payday. So I think he's going to bring his best game. His work ethic is really incredible. So I would think when he was out of the bubble that he probably was keeping himself in shape. We know he was mourning the death of his grandmother. But if he was staying in shape, then I think he's going to come back and play well because his game's not really based on skill. I mean, he's got some decent skills, but his is based on hustle, heart, toughness, things like that. So I think he should be able to get in and contribute pretty quickly. And so that's what I like about what he brings. But their bench, remember when they played the Lakers in the first game of the bubble, the Lakers won that game because of their bench. The Clippers starters outplayed the Lakers starters. But the Lakers' bench had a huge advantage. Now you'll have Lou Williams, who wasn't in that game, and Montrezl Harrell. They both give you 18 a night. Their bench will not get outplayed by anyone. So that's the other thing. The only potential negative is that you've got players now who are used to playing minutes without Harrell. And I don't know how deep Doc's going to go in the playoffs. Will he go 8 deep, 9 deep? I don't know if he'll go deeper than that. But, you know, where does that leave, you know, a Rodney Magruder and Patrick Patterson, Jermichael Green, and even Reggie Jackson, even though he's a guard? I mean, they're going to get minutes, but not probably what they've been used to. So how do they handle that? And then how do they play in their fewer minutes? So that's the only potential negative, is that Doc's got a lot of people to kind of work in and out of his rotation. But overall, this is clearly a big plus.
Well, he's a huge addition. He's the energy. They've missed his energy. They missed his rim protection. He's the third leading scorer on their team. And what he does is that the 50-50 ball, he chases down 85-90% of those. He gives you things that just none of the other bigs can provide. We don't know. Zubac has played well in the bubble, but he's not going to play more minutes than Trez once Trez get back into the lineup. Noah was a nice addition, but I don't see Noah playing unless it's a blowout. He's not going to get any minutes. Those minutes are going back to Trez Harrell. But like I said, Skip, guys, he's the rebounding guy. He's the second chance points guy. He's the guy that gets the loose ball, and all of a sudden he kicks the ball to a wide-open Paul George, to a wide-open Kawhi or Shamet, and one of those guys knocked down a three, where before he was there, those were the loose balls that the opposing team got to. Now there's turns into second-chance points. Doc says he hopes he'll be cleared for the season finale. I know you mentioned that he likes to stay in shape, he works out, but you only get in shape playing the sport that you actually play. I hear guys talking, oh, he's in the best shape. Were you playing football? You weren't out there diving around on the floor with... You're in basketball shape. He wasn't diving on no floor. Trust me, Chris. And the thing you have to be careful of when you've been away for this length of time, even though you think you've been working out, you end up getting these soft tissue injuries. You get a calf injury. You get a hamstring or quad something. So Doc is going to be careful with him. He hopes he can get him in and gradually build him up. But Trez Harrell, he's a monster. And as you said, normally guys that are in contract years, they play extraordinary to get that payday. But and when he gets his payday, don't think he's going to back off. But he's due for one, and I expect him to play well.
So, as much as I love the Clippers, as much as I really love Trez, averaging 19-7 with 2 assists, those are 6-man of the year kind of numbers.
Yes.
As much as I love all that, I do not love this scenario for the Clippers. They have now played 70 games. I don't know if Trez is going to play in that last game or not. I'm going to guess not. But the point is, they will have played 72 total games. Mm-hmm. Their full roster will have been on the floor ready to play together 12 total times. That's a recipe for playoff disaster. Can you just flip the switch and get everybody in gear and in rhythm and in rotation? I don't know. I've never seen anything quite like this, where you're clearly the deepest team. You just got max deep by getting Trez back on top of Lou. And now what? How do you figure out how to play together in a new rotation as the playoffs start? And I don't know who they're going to draw in the first round.
Probably Dallas.
Probably. But you better be ready, because those guys can play.
Right.
And my point is, are you going to be really ready to play? I don't know. This is just like... complete throw it up in the air and see where it all lands, because I'm sure Doc Rivers is losing some sleep at night trying to figure out what's my rotation and how much can I trust even Lou and Trez to come off the bench and give me the kind of impact they used to give me.
Well, Trez is a guy, Chris, that they don't have to run a whole lot of plays for him, because he's going to get his stuff off the rim. He's going to get his stuff by running the floor and filling the lane. Yeah, they'll dump it down to him occasionally to show the hard work. He block a shot on one end, and it's like, okay, you did a good job here. Take this, and he go to work. But for the most part, the ball's going to be in Paul George. It's going to be in Kawhi. It's going to be in Lou. It's going to be in Lou's hand. And down the stretch, he'll be in there. He'll be in that closing lineup. But the ball is going to be in one of those three guys' hands, and he's going to be crashing the board trying to get second chance points.
Guys, is he going to be in playoff shape?
Oh, he'll get. I mean, by the time it really matters, I think he'll be there.
Maybe in the second round.
Yeah.
I would give
him
that.
Second round.
Yeah.
He won't be ready for the first round. No. But Dallas, I think, even as good as Dallas is, I think they should be able to take care of Dallas pretty easily because, you know, they just don't have the toughness or the experience that the Clippers have. Skip, you mentioned that's going to be the Clippers' biggest challenge, is that they are going into these playoffs really with in the same situation they were in the regular season, and they had hoped that these 8 games would be an opportunity to get some continuity, right? Get these all your best players playing together at the same time, which they didn't get a chance to do in the regular season, and now they won't have that chance. Now, in the regular season, it worked out. You know, when Kawhi came back after missing a game, it seemed like he fit in smoothly. When Patrick Beverley came back, he fit in seamlessly. Same with Paul George. But it's a different animal in the playoffs. That's going to me, that's their biggest challenge. Are there any hiccups just because you haven't played together a lot with your best players? Outside of that, if they get through that well, then I don't see any problems for them. Hmm.
I just don't want to see them get knocked out in the first or second round and hear everybody say, well, we just didn't have time this year. We'll get them next year. Because feeling like we'll get them next year is going to be the underlying motto of this playoff.
I'm tired of hearing excuses because that's what we seem to do. Every time, when the Clippers win, you see that's the depth that they have. But when they lose, it's because they haven't played together. Stop that. Mm. Stop it. We don't do excuses here. Mm. You win or lose. At the end of the day, we're going to win or we're going to lose. And we're not going to be making excuses, Skip, because I noticed you and Chris Broussard, y'all been doing a lot of that. Mm. Well, you know, they only played 12 games together. Mm.
I'm not saying it's an excuse.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, they played well in the regular season.
Okay. Okay.
And so, despite this, and if they get Denver in the second round, Denver's in the same boat, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, they said Gary Harris, Will Barton's out. What's Michael Porter Jr.'s role now?
Michael Porter Jr. Ain't coming out of the starting lineup. You forget that.
Right.
I don't know about the other guys.
Like, Harris likes to score. Barton likes to score. Jamal Murray likes to score. Obviously, you got Jokic. They've got the same issues as the Clippers. A lot of depth and a lot of guys that deserve to play, but who's the rotation going to be? So I think the Clippers just need to be rolling by the time they get the Lakers in the conference finals. And that goes for both teams, to be honest. They kind of can work out the kinks in those first two rounds.
So speaking of excuses, LeBron has sure been whining a lot about how tough life is in the bubble. It's so tough. I'm away from my wife and kids. It's hard. We can't eat the right things here. We're getting cabin fever.
You see,
stop it.
Did you see the way he showed up at the game? Dude, it looked like he been eating bad to you, Skip. You saw the way he showed up at the game, right?
We're going to talk about that later.
In his hotel room.
Yeah. He did like 500 abs before he came to the stadium.
Don't get any ideas, you two. No ideas out of that look.
I might pull a whole Butch Lewis. You remember Butch Lewis, don't you?
We don't need any of that around here. Chris Broussard, always a pleasure. We'll check in with you soon.
No mercy.
LeBron said Kuzma, quote, has to be our third best player. If I'm struggling or if AD is struggling, he has to be our second best player on any given night. We can't win a championship if Kuz doesn't play well. Shannon, scale of 1 to 10, how much do you trust Kyle Kuzma going into the playoffs?
5-6. I can't count on him to consistently give me 20 a night.
Mm.
So I'm supposed to blaze everything after what I saw last night. He had a three-pointer. He had a game-winning shot. But where is that? That was only his, fourth or fifth 25-point game all season long. Skip, I can't base – I'm not going to let one moment cloud my judgment in what I've seen all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen the consistency from Kyle Kuzma that would say, you know what? Okay, that's the third option.
Mm-hmm.
Since LeBron has joined, he's a 31% three-point shooter. And now all of a sudden I'm supposed to get my hopes up. I'm like, yep, we there now. He played well. And he's played well. Skip, that was one of the reasons why they weren't willing to include him in the trade.
Mm.
Because originally, remember, they wanted him. But he played well with LeBron. He can catch and shoot. He can play off the ball. He doesn't necessarily need the ball. Now, when he give it to him, you might not get it back.
Mm.
There's a good chance you pass him the ball, he's not passing it back. But, Skip, I can't put all my eggs in his basket because he had one shining moment last night. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say 5 or 6. I need to see consistency. Forget the game-winning shot. I need to see because I've seen some 7 points, some some 11 points with 3 of 18 shooting, and that won't cut it. So for me, 5 or 6, but I like what I saw last night. Let me see a little bit more consistency. Not game-winning shots, but let me see 15 to 20 points on a consistent basis, and then you can get my you get my belief system up.
Your belief system better go up to a 6 or you ain't winning no games. Right?
Well, he better make some shots to get my belief system up to an 8.
Yep. I'm going to say this again, and I've been saying it all year. The Lakers will go as far as Kyle Kuzma takes them. And I know he's not LeBron and he's not Anthony Davis, but he is the huge X factor here. He has to take and make big shots in key moments for this team to go places, to go win the championship, to get past the Clippers, we believe, in the West, and get past whoever. Maybe it's Toronto, but it's up to Kyle Kuzma because there are too many stretches where you don't have enough LeBron and you don't have enough AD. And I still wonder about Anthony just comes and he goes. Last night he came and then he went in the second half. But this guy, I believe, can be your closer. But they don't feature him as the closer until they finally, Vogel called his number last night and he came through. Well, it's a little late in the game to say, oh, let's make him our closer. That should have been happening all year.
No, he shouldn't have. Stop.
Okay, well, that's what I believe because I trust him to make big shots. This guy,
Skip, he's only made, Skip, that was his first one. He's only, I mean, come on.
But they cut him out. They cut him out of the rotation. Look at his numbers. Look at the first year with LeBron, he averaged 19-6 and 3 assists.
Right.
That's pretty great.
Right.
And then this year it fell to 13-5-1.
Yeah, his minutes.
Everything fell off.
I mean, so what? You want to get him AD minutes?
He should have been your third wheel, your third star.
They tried.
Your X factor. Well, there's something. And remember, the breaking point, maybe the bridge burner, was that his trainer, who happens to be Kawhi's trainer, posted out of nowhere after, was it the second or the first? I can't remember if it was the first game.
It might have been the first game.
After the first game, that he was all about Kawhi doing work on LeBron.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I can't remember the specific.
Somebody's talking, but somebody's putting in work, but somebody talking about
it. Right, yeah. Now tell me I'm wrong. He was daring people on whatever social media.
I got time because he's on vacation.
I got time. Tell me I'm wrong. And again, he does train Kawhi, but he also trains the guy who's the teammate of LeBron's. And I thought that was a do not invite him moment where
we don't do that. I mean, we don't, Skip. After Dan Gilbert said those awful things about us, we went back. We're not vengeful.
I know, but you don't have to play with Dan Gilbert on your team. He just sits above it all, looks down on it.
But that's what LeBron
said. You can control
LeBron. I'm above that fray. What y'all talking about? Why would I do? Why would I compare myself to Kawhi? Even somebody pairing Kawhi to me is beneath me. So why would I respond? Why would I have a response to that? Kuz. Just do what you're supposed to do. We're going to give you opportunity to succeed because, Skip, remember Anthony Davis was out for a couple? That was Kuz's opportunity. Go on and give us that 25 because now you're getting AD minutes. What do you do with those minutes?
Okay, LeBron says the right things, but he does not embrace him. I don't think he went out of his way to incorporate him as the distinct third option or a closing option.
Why do you think he's there? Why do you think he's there?
Well, I don't know.
Why do you think Kyle Kuzma is still there? We wanted him there.
You couldn't find the right deal.
We wanted him.
Maybe Rob Pelinka just said, I don't love what I'm getting back, because maybe the league had soured because they thought, well, if the king is sour on him, we're sour on him. Remember, I thought he was going at the trade deadline.
We held on to it.
Yep.
So that we called him up, say, Kuz, we're going to hold on to you because we believe in you.
Do you really believe, or are you afraid he'll come back to haunt you?
Skip, when has anybody ever came back to haunt LeBron? Name the time. The guy that was on our team that left and came back to haunt us.
Kyrie will. No, he will. Wait until next year.
Oh, would that be Kyrie or that be KD?
A little of both.
Exactly.
A lot of both. So the point is, what I love about Kyle Kuzma is he has this hugely advantageous lack of conscience. He just doesn't care.
Yeah.
He'll take the shot and forget the shot if it misses. He'll just shoot it again and again and again. But you have to incorporate him, and you have to call his number in key moments to make him feel like he's part of the deal here. He's the deal closer.
Now, if you told me the Kyrie, what kind of confidence I got in Kyrie, now see, now you're talking about 9-10. Mm-hmm. Okay, what kind of confidence I got in D-Wade? Now you're talking about 9-10. You ask me what kind of my confidence level in Kyle Kuzma?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because you sense from LeBron's body language or even AD's body language they don't have any confidence in him.
We told Frankie V it would be okay if Kuz took the last shot. We passed AD the ball. Mm-hmm. LeBron is over in the back. He already know. Mm-hmm. He got the one finger up. Skip, how much more confidence you want me to have?
That seems like a 9 on a scale of 10.
That's him. You asked me.
So maybe that was the breakthrough, right? A breakthrough moment?
Oh, Skip, those guys are there. Maybe they've seen Kuz take those shots in practice, make those shots in practice. Okay, Skip, all I can base it on is what I see in the game. And I've seen far too many times I haven't seen the consistent level. Now, I've seen times where Kuz is, if he's not playing well offensively, he gets after that at the defensive end. And then I've seen other times he doesn't have it going on the offensive end. And he's like, well, I ain't playing defense either. I can't make a shot. I ain't doing anything. Mm. So that's my level right now.
Sometimes this kid posts something on social that I sit back and shake my head and say, what are you thinking? And then it dawns on me. He's not thinking. He just doesn't think, which is a good thing.
What color was his hair when he posted? Was it pink? Was it green? Was it blue? Was it red? I just need to know.
All of which is why he will take and make the big shot with no conscience.
Skip.
No memory. He just takes it and makes it. He can shoot it under pressure.
Most of the guys that do well in the playoffs, Skip, they don't have... I mean, you look at the guys that win the finals MVP. There's only been one Dennis Rodman. Mm. That one finder that played well, and he was a rebounding guy. But most of the guys, Skip, they ain't do all that. Got no funny hairstyle and all that other stuff. Mm. They just come to play basketball.
Mm. So you tried a game back to make Quinn Cook your closer. You did. And he'd made 5 of 7 threes, and then LeBron said, here's another chance. Down the stretch against Indiana. Nope.
We might pull it out again. We might dust him off again. Yeah. As a Quinn, come in and hit this big three in the corner.
You're going to dust him off because he got a DNP last night after playing, 35 minutes against Indy. What are you doing?
Well, Deion Waiters got a DNP and then played and gave us some great production last night.
Yeah.
So you never know.
I'm starting to question Frankie V, and he's going to be the all-time scapegoat.
Yeah, our rotation's been I said this earlier. Our rotation's been some trash now. Yeah. I mean, we can't find a rotation.
What rotation?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Never know who's going to be starting.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.